Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janabala Bhagini Badadhari. Jaya Gopi Janabala Bhagini Badadhari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tirabana Chari. Jamuna Tirabana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribhajakacharya Astotara Satashi Shiman is Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sri Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivas Adigor Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Shama Sunda, Gopa Gopina, Shamakund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadweep Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine. Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschat Chade Satarine. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we are continuing our study of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3. We're on Chapter 15, which is Description of the Kingdom of God. And today we're on Text 34. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Please chant along if you choose. Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaivam Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. So text 34. Tatvam amusya paramasya vikunta bhartu. It's Govinda. Tatvam amusya paramasya vikunta bhartu. Tatvam amusya paramasya vikunta bhartu. Kartum prakristam iha dimahi manda dibhyam. Kartum prakartum, to bestow. Prakristam, benefit. Iha, in the matter of this offense. Dimahi, let us consider. Mandadibhyam, those whose intelligence is not very nice. Lokan, to the material world. Itaha, from this place, Vaikuntha. Rajatam, go. Antarbhava, duality. Dristya, on account of seeing. Papiyasa, sinful. Traya, three. Ime, these. Ripava, enemies. Asya, of a living entity. Yatra, where. Translation and the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, let us consider how these two contaminated persons should be punished. The punishment should be apt, for thus benefit can eventually be bestowed upon them. Since they find duality in the existence of Vaikuntha life, they are contaminated and should be removed from this place to the material world, where the living entities have three kinds of enemies. Let's say it together. Therefore, let us consider how these two contaminated persons should be punished. The punishment should be apt, for thus benefit can eventually be bestowed upon them. Since they find duality in the existence of Vaikuntha life, they are contaminated and should be removed from this place to the material world, where the living entities have three kinds of enemies. Oma ginate mirandasya jananjana salakaya chaksu umilitam jena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I'm indebted to Srila Prabhupada eternally and beg for service life after life. Hare Krishna. So this verse and purport, if you pay attention to the verse, and the purport's going to answer the question that comes up every few months in a class. If the spiritual world is so nice and we were so happy there, why did we come here? Okay, so pay attention, because this is the answer here. Okay? Srila Prabhupada's purport. The reason why pure souls come to the existential circumstances of the material world, which is considered to be the criminal department of the Supreme Lord, is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, verse 27. It is stated that as long as the living entity is pure, he is in complete harmony with the desires of the Supreme Lord. But as soon as he becomes impure, he is in disharmony with the desires of the Lord. Okay, we're going to stop there for a few minutes, as you knew, right? So what did Prabhupada just say there? What did Prabhupada say there? As long as you're not in harmony, or you have desires that are, if you have desires that are in harmony with the Lord, you can stay there. And when there's disharmony, so what is the basis of that disharmony? Okay, that's true. What is the vision of one who's in disharmony? Let's poke at that a little bit more. What is I, me, and mine. I'm different from the Lord. I think I should be the happy one, and I think I'll be happier if I serve myself. Okay, so interestingly enough, this seventh chapter of Gita, verse 27, is Ichadvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Sammoham Sarge Yanti Parantapa. O scion of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities, once they come here, are born into delusion, by bewildered by the dualities arisen from desire and hate. I want something, and there's other things that are not appealing to me. I don't want them. I like this. I don't like that. The center has been changed. In the material world, the center is me and you 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 and you. And therefore, we have a lot of problems. Have you noticed? Because I think I'm the center, and the next person thinks they're the center, and my center doesn't always go in harmony with the next person's desires and hates. But another interesting point is in Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment on this verse, he quotes not from this Bhagavad Gita verse, but from the 16th chapter. Let me get there in 2.5 seconds. 16th chapter, verse 21, which is, I'll do the Sanskrit. Trividham narakasyedam dvaram nasanam atmana kama krodha tata lobha kama krodha labha tasmad etat trayam tyajet. So he's talking again about those three enemies that were mentioned in the verse. There are three gates leading to this hell: lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. Lust, anger, and greed. So you can't have lust without also having anger and greed also. It's a package. It's a package deal. Because by Sri Krishna explains in the Gita that by contemplating the object of the senses, an attachment, a lust desires for them, a lust arises for them. And from lust, because of that desire, have you ever noticed that our desires aren't always very satisfactorily fulfilled? They're not, and then there comes anger when the desires aren't fulfilled, and then, you know, frustration, anger, and delusion of memory, et cetera, et cetera. So many problems come from that, and that leads to repeated entanglement in the material world, and appears like we've been here forever and we'll never be able to get out. So this is how this beginning part of the purport is explaining more or less from the point of jnana, knowledge. If we control these if we could call these bad desires, my big vocabulary, the bad desires, then we won't have those that circumstance. But uncontrolled desires, misappropriated desires, will lead to repeated entanglement in birth and death and lower and lower states of consciousness. So I'll continue a little bit here with the purport. I'm just going back one sentence. It is stated that as long as the living entity is pure, he is in complete harmony with the desires of the Supreme Lord. But as soon as he becomes impure, he is in disharmony with the desires of the Lord. By contamination, he is forced to transfer to this material world where the living entities have three enemies. And here Srila Prabhupada uses different phrase. He uses namely desire, anger, and lust. Same meaning as stated in that 16th chapter, lust, anger, and greed, but he uses it in a different way. He uses desire, which in this case, here in this purport, desire means lust. Anger, and then lust means greed in this particular case. So it's the same three principles: desire, anger, and lust, greed for more and more and more. These three enemies force the living entities to continue material existence. And when one is freed from them, he is eligible to enter the kingdom of God. One should not, therefore, be angry in the absence of an opportunity for sense gratification, and one should not be lusty to acquire more than necessary. So this is an explanation, again, a little bit in accordance with the Gyan principle, with knowledge, with transcendental knowledge. If we understand the principle of what's happening, then when desire comes, sometimes one can control the desire. Sometimes one can control lust, and sometimes one can control anger. That's from the Gyana point of view. But now Prabhupada is going to transform or continue on to explain it from the bhakti point of view. Because just by Gyan, just by knowledge of, well, these desires aren't going to bring me happiness, that's not going to necessarily control our pursuit of material desires. Just that desire. There's so many instances that are displayed in the Bhagavatam. People who had that knowledge of Gyan, that they're not their body, that there's, you know, higher nature, it's this and that. But when confronted with a particularly overpowering, lustful situation, fall victim to those lusty desires, because not just by Gyan can one control those. One, Prabhupada's going to talk about how it's by Krishna's mercy, by bhakti, because there's bhakti there in the heart, because param dristva nivartante, because there's a higher taste for transcendental loving service to the Lord and a higher taste for a relationship with the Lord, then one, by the Lord's mercy, gets the strength to overcome material desires. So, okay, here. Repeating that one sentence again. One should not, therefore, be angry in the absence of an opportunity for sense gratification, and one should not be lusty to acquire more than necessary. In this verse, it is clearly stated that the two doormen should be sent to the material world where criminals are allowed to reside. Funny, huh? Because we don't really think of that, the material world, like that. We just think of it, we're all just endeavoring to be happy here, and we're all just doing our own thing. But actually, confirmed, we're just in the prison house, and all the prisoners are just arguing with themselves. You know, this is me, I, me, mine, etc., etc. And I want to be happy in this way. And some of us try to be happy in the material world, quote unquote, following the moral laws or the governmental laws. And some people don't even bother doing that. They don't care about any laws, and they do whatever they want, and they get certain repercussions. And we're thinking, because I follow the laws of the government, I'm better situated than the ones who break the laws of the government. But we're all here in the prison house, criminally, after sense gratification, when we should be offering our love and endeavor to the Supreme Lord. Since the basic principles of criminality are sense gratification, anger, and unnecessary lust, persons conducted by these three enemies of the living entity are never promoted to Vaikuntha. Oh no, never promoted to Vaikuntha. Does that mean we eternally have to stay here in the material world now that we've come here? We're eternally condemned? No, because Krishna is all merciful, and he gives the free choice to choose to serve the Lord in whatever way we can, or to try to continue to forget the Lord. And if we're choosing to try to remember the Lord, then gradually we come in contact with higher and higher levels of knowledge and the process of bhakti and cleanse the heart, Lord Chaitanya's program, Chaito Darpana Marjanam, and eventually, by the Lord's mercy, our endeavor, we repeat things very often here in our philosophy. we have to make our endeavor to follow the Lord's will and et cetera, and to serve the Lord. But we also are totally dependent on the Lord's mercy. So our endeavor and Krishna's mercy. People should learn Bhagavad Gita and accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna as the Lord of everything. They should practice satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord instead of trying to satisfy their own senses. Training in Krishna consciousness will help one be promoted to Vaikuntha. So this is in context, this is the story of how the demigods had approached Lord Brahma. How come this darkness is covering the whole universe and we're unable to do our service to the Lord? What's going on? So Lord Brahma doesn't start with the immediate reason. He goes back. He gives the backstory. He started off with this long backstory of how this personality, how these personalities that are right now in Diti's womb are so powerful that they have the ability to cover, to put the whole world in darkness. They're so powerful. Why? Because they're servants of the Supreme Lord, Jai and Vijay, who had a discordant mentality, and a mentality of that was not particularly pleasing to the Lord. And because of that mentality that wasn't pleasing to the Lord, as has been spoken in the last few very wonderful classes that we've been hearing, they tried to block these four sweet little innocent Kumara boys, the oldest of all living entities that only looked like 5 years old, covered there, and they were dressed in the atmosphere. The atmosphere covered their body, and who had a desire to, the Kumaras had the desire to see the Lord. They hadn't made it quite into Vaikuntha. They were on the gates of Vaikuntha, but they had a desire. They had heard about the Lord. They were elevated in consciousness, and they had a desire to see the Lord. So, as you're all familiar with the story, that will happen in a few more verses. And just by when the Lord comes on the scene, just by his coming there, and they smell the fragrance of the tulsi leaves that are on his lotus feet, and the sandalwood that's mixed with tulsi leaves and sandalwood that are on the Lord's lotus feet, they become fully transcendental, fully engaged in the Lord's service, fully manifest their bhakti for the Lord, becomes fully manifest. So, and that's why this purport has this sequence. First explaining the path of jnana, because this is where the Kumaras entered from. They were on the path of jnana. But they come to the point of bhakti, because the path of jnana, the goal of jnanis to understand the oneness of all living entities, et cetera, the difference between the material world, et cetera, isn't the highest goal. The goal of bhakti yoga is to develop a loving relationship with the Supreme Lord and be totally in harmony with his desires, realizing that the living entity is just an instrument in fulfilling, in giving pleasure to the Lord in so many different varieties of ways. There's so many different varieties of personalities, and there's so many different varieties of ways that those individuals can please the Lord. And therefore, it behooves us to remember that in our devotional service, in meeting the different types of devotees that we meet. Some people are attracted to kirtan. Some people are attracted to, you know, preaching to thousands of people. Some people are, you know, sweep the floor. Some people, you know, all of those people are glorious. All of those personalities are glorious, and they're offering what they can to the Supreme Lord. And therefore, I was appreciating particularly Srila Radhanath Maharaj's class when he was saying how if we're expecting that there's not conflicts with all of these people together, maybe you're a little familiar with some conflicts, and you know, if we're expecting that there should be no conflicts here, that's what they call an unrealistic expectation. There will be conflicts. There will be different, you know, points of interest for different types of people. But Maharaj's point was very sagacious when he said, but it's the question is how do we deal with each other when we're resolving those conflicts? It's not that I'm okay, you're okay, everything's okay, and we shouldn't have any conflicts, and if you want to do this and that, and if you want to do that and that, it's all fine. No, there's the philosophy, there's the standards that Srila Prabhupada has set for his ISKCON society, and then that needs to be maintained in order to keep the purity of the movement intact. And when there are differences, it's not that we can just say, oh, it's okay, no problem. No, it has to be maintained. But how we deal with each other during those conflicting situations, that's actually another sign of our understanding that we're all parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. We're all in this together. It's not I'm right and you're wrong only. Sorry. There's different ways to look at different circumstances like that. So, any discussion or comments or corrections already? Madhumati Devi Dasi.
So is my understanding correct? This is how I'm seeing this scenario. The Kumaras were jnanis at the time when they were at the seventh gate. So we have Jaya and Vijaya who are doing their service. And they're jnanis, not bhaktas. Bhaktas they became after the Lord came there.
Kumaras.
Yeah, okay. After the Vishnu, the Kumaras became bhaktas after Vishnu. So in one sense, what they were doing was correct. At least that's what I'm thinking. But is it how they did it? Because they had described their nostrils this way, that way, or whatever. So because you're making the point is how we deal with conflicts, not conflicts will be there. So is that what was wrong? Is that what their fault was, is how they did it? Or yeah. Even the fact that they stopped?
Well, you're asking a very nice question. Uh-huh. And it's oftentimes, like we see here, the floor, right? We mm-hmm. want to know, is it white or is it black? Is it right or is it wrong? It's not always that cut and dry, as they say. You know, either they were right or they were wrong, or who's right and who's wrong, and who should have done this and who should have done that. Ultimately, as has been discussed many times in these previous classes leading up to today's verse, you know, this is the plan of the Lord. You know, this is the plan of the Lord. So he arranges things in different ways. Now, to answer your question a little bit, tad more directly, the way that Jai and Vijay reacted to the Kumaras could have been in a more devotional, loving, reciprocal. It's just like I could say, can you shut the window? Or I could say, shut the window, you dumbbell. You know, which one would you like to hear, and how would you like, and what? How does that affect you? So, you know, the tone, the attitude, my mentality to say the second thing as opposed to how I said it the first time, you know, that has subtle and gross effects on the situation. So their handling of the situation as we sit here in Bhagavad-gita analyzing the transcendental personalities of the spiritual world could have in a different way, you know what I mean? But ultimately, the thing, the overall pacifying element to understand, which I'm sure you do, is that it's ultimately the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So perhaps if they had done it in a more polite manner, then they wouldn't have gotten cursed, and then who is he going to fight with, and this and that. So he arranged it like that.
Yeah, no, certainly it is the Lord's plan. But it's interesting because even the Kumaras later on say they were faultless and innocent. The Kumaras describe later on after the Lord, you know, praised them and, you know, and asked forgiveness on the behalf of his...
They had a hard time, if you remember, we'll get to that. They had a hard time understanding what the point of the Lord was because he was saying, you know, he likes, you know, make us think.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Guru Prasad Ji.
Thank you, Nanda. Your classes are so always, you know, kind of analytical, you know, you analyze everything.
Because that's because I always listen to somebody else's class on the same verse and try to repeat any good points you hear is from somebody else.
Well, whatever it is, you have assimilated to able to explain it so nicely. Is it possible that when you first come, you come as Lord Brahma, right? But that position where you have so much control, I mean, is it easy? It must be very hard to go back from Lord Brahma back to Vaikuntha, because you're in control of the entire material creation. And so from that, other desire must be there, because we see anger in Lord Brahma and lust and all this stuff. But you will think you're just coming from Vaikuntha and you have all this still remnants. You do the way down to...
You don't have to. You don't have to.
But that's usually...
We don't even have to come here.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
But that, the point, that the point is... The illusory potency of the Lord is so great that even having been in Vaikuntha just one birth ago, you could say, and taking birth as the Lord Brahma or whomever, you totally forget that. Even in, you see, even in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Murari Gupta, a little bit of context, Murari Gupta was a worshiper of Sitaram, you know, and he was and it was recommended that he give up the worship of Lord Ramachandra and take to the worship of Lord Krishna, and by Lord Chaitanya himself. And Murari Gupta's reaction was, you know, all night he was totally in anxiety, and he said, you know, I'd rather die than do that. And the pastime unfolds, and et cetera, to a point where Lord Chaitanya reminds Murari Gupta, you are actually Hanuman. Now, up until the time that Lord Chaitanya revealed that to him, Murari Gupta had no idea that he was Hanuman. Yeah. Because why? Because that's the potency of the illusory energy. You know, and Hanuman obviously is not a nobody, a little guy, you know, like, you know, but, and that's why Srila Prabhupada would always stress that this potency, this illusory energy of the material is very, don't play around with it, you know? Don't think, oh, I'll be more serious later on. I have plenty of time. I'm this, I'm that. I'm not so bad off. It's not so bad here if I chant my rounds and if I do this. No, we have to have that drive, that remembrance, that, you know, drive to get out, because even just a little slip up, a small little slip up, it becomes very entangling, degrades the consciousness, becomes very entangled. The reactions to sinful activities are very entangling. Mm. And I've said this before, but it's in Prabhupada's books. He says, Nectar of Devotion, first chapter, when he's talking about the characteristics of pure devotional service, and he talks about how the reactions first, why do we even have sinful desires? Because of ignorance. Because we don't realize the results of ignorance. Uh-oh, Steedity's on the move.
Okay. One second, I just have another part of the question.
Okay, wait, hold on. We perform sinful activities because of ignorance. We get entangled. Once we do it, once we do a sinful action, then we become entangled, and we get so many different, we get the physical and mental suffering from doing something sinful, but we also get the other reaction is the desire to do it again. Tangling, entangling, entangling, entangling. Now, the desire to do it again doesn't mean that you, quote unquote, have to do it again. But the desire's there. Okay, what would you like to say now?
So let me get this. So we were in Vaikuntha, or say Jayan Vijay, and this desire to lord it over was in the heart, so they had to be cast down. I mean, whether it's the Lord's pastime or not. So for my understanding or thing, they had this desire to, while they were there with the Lord, they have this desire to lord it over, to be, and then you cast it.
Well, the thing is that they had a service. Their service was doorkeepers. You know, doorkeepers have some service. It's just how they executed that service that was not compatible with the desires of the Lord. The Lord doesn't want people who come to his door can I come in? He doesn't want them to be disrespected. They might not be able to come. This is my mundane example of that, okay? He doesn't want them to just come in, you know, when they're not, when he's busy with something else, but he wants them to be treated respectfully and quote unquote wait their turn. But they were treated disrespectfully. Sorry. I thought it was Pundarik who wanted to speak. But Steeda D's jumping.
He's a little shy. I'm just trying to warm it up for him.
Okay, thanks.
I mean, we're agonizing over Jai and Vijay here, right?
We are.
Yes, we are. But they had a choice. They could have come seven times as devotees or whatever the number was. They could have come seven times as like Srila Prabhupada and done all kinds of stuff. And I don't think we think Srila Prabhupada was cast down, you know, into the pits of hell. You know, he came here, did some service. But they chose to come as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And that fills up, what, 2-3 cantos of the Bhagavatam or something? I mean, that's a pretty good service there, too. So, I mean,
there's a lot we can learn.
Yeah, I think they're doing okay, you know?
Okay, thanks for that, Steve D.
It sounded like you were saying that Murari Gupta was in Maya or something. You said that the illusory energy is so strong that therefore he didn't know he was Hanuman on his past birth.
Murari Gupta was not in Maya. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
But thanks for clarifying that. But so then how do you explain that he couldn't remember that he was Hanuman? Okay, thank you. Still didn't get, when you said it, I still didn't get it, but thank you. Okay, Hare Krishna.
I just want to go back to Madhumati's point that most of the times when some non-devotee curses a devotee, it's the devotee, the stark example is Ambarish, right? And then sometimes like when Subhari Muni cursed Garuda, Garuda accepted it, you know, even though he didn't have to. Mm-hmm. But in this case, I think Lord Narayan himself decided to enforce the curse and in the process glorify the position of the brahmanas. Even if they're not devotees, he's glorifying those who have these qualities. But I like that, you know, bringing it back to how we should deal with people. We're kind of like gatekeepers in Vaikuntha. We're preachers. We're trying to get people to go to Vaikuntha and come introduce them to the Lord, come to the temple, see the Lord here and stuff. We should be very careful how we deal with people.
Where did that just... Okay, somebody said something like that in a class that I was listening to.
I mean, I've known experience where some devotee comes to a temple and gets treated neglectfully.
Yeah.
Or, you know...
Yeah, that's what it sparked, that remembrance, and I'll just give you the brief summary of it. This American bodied personality who was a dentist and a pious Catholic personality came in contact with devotees, read Bhagavad Gita, ended up going to retiring. This is a real story. And he retired to Vrindavan where he wanted to open a clinic and offer free dental service to devotees and the poor and the needy in Vrindavan. And somehow or other, but he was new to Krishna consciousness. Anyway, he ended up in Vrindavan. And he also, in his life, he would go to Catholic monasteries, you know, for retreats and stuff. And so when he was in Vrindavan, that's when he got the Bhagavad Gita, okay? So he hadn't got the Bhagavad Gita. So he was reading the Bhagavad Gita in Vrindavan temple, Krishna Balaram Mandir. And as he was trained in the Catholic monastery, when he got to a particular passage in his scriptural reading that was impacted him, they would close the book and they would, you know, they would think deeply on that passage. So that's what he did with the Bhagavad Gita. He closed the book, put it on the floor, and was thinking about what he had just read. And sometimes new devotees always get the bad rap. Anyway, so this new devotee came, this new little brahmachari came and started chastising him for having the book on the floor. But it wasn't just a simple chastisement, it was a prolonged chastisement for 10 or 15 minutes. And the man was totally like turned off, and he took the book and he handed it to the devotee and he said, "I think you need this more than me." Anyway, that reminded me of that. Soma?
I like to say something about Jai and Vijay.
Please.
I've heard sometimes people say, that, you know, you never fall from the spiritual world, and Jai and Vijay were just at, you know, the gatekeepers. They weren't actually there, but that's not correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were very dear to the Lord, and that was like their daytime job, is they'd be gatekeepers at the front of Vaikuntha, and their nighttime job was they would guard the door to the bedroom of Lakshmi and
Narayan.
And so when this started to unfold, when the curse, when the Kumaras were cursing Jai and Vijay, and the Lord came, Lakshmi also came, and she was thinking...
That's in a few verses. You're going to be a spoiler, but go ahead.
Yeah,
That's all right.
She was thinking, I know these Jai and Vijay are so dear to the Lord. I wonder what's going to happen. You know, how's this going to, you know, work out? But the point I was just making is, Jai and Vijay were very dear servants of the Lord. They weren't, you know, just like marginal gatekeepers.
Right. Okay, thanks. Actually, I thought you were going to go in a different place with Lakshmi.
I could have, but...
Okay, because in a few verses, I'll be the spoiler. In a few verses, the Lord will explain that actually even the seed for this incident that we're reading about now happened when Jai and Vijay blocked Lakshmi from going in to see Narayan because he was resting. That was the seed that led to this, which is a seed that led to the next thing, which is a seed, you know what I mean? Anyway, that's where I thought you were going, so Hare Krishna. Yes, Vyasuno. Mr. Sukadev.
Thank you for the class. Sorry for the maybe stupid question, but
asking the right person. Go ahead.
Do the Jai Vijay come to the material world every time that Krishna needs
good question.
To fight?
No, they don't.
They don't. So
no.
Someone else. Every time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my understanding. Is that correct understanding? It's not always Jai and Vijay. They don't come, yeah. Yeah, they don't come. 5.36 Madhya Leela. Adi Leela. That's what I meant to say. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Anyone else? Yes, Ekadasi Vrata. Thanks for the good flag.
Hare Krishna. Just since there's time, I wanted to, I guess, just highlight, which I've mentioned before, but at the end of the purport, where Prabhupada says, people should learn Bhagavad Gita and accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna as the Lord of everything. They should practice satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord instead of trying to satisfy their own senses. Training in Krishna consciousness will help one be promoted to Vaikuntha. So I just wanted to say that again, just the importance of training and, you know, because there we look around the room, there's not so many devotees here compared to how many live here. You know, a lot of people have to go to work and stuff like that. So what about in the evenings? You know, I just would like to, I guess, promote more or just kind of put out the idea more of more training for devotees at times that are convenient for them, just mm-hmm. to encourage people, mm-hmm. myself included, to become more serious in mm-hmm. Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I appreciated the point that Shivaram Swami made also, I believe it was him, when he was talking about how if you're going to college, you don't just read the books, you have to study the books. So it's similar, it ties into what you're saying. You have to study, because you don't just graduate from college with honors just by reading the book casually, in a casual manner. It's really important, and as you mentioned, in ways that works for different people, because it obviously has changed since there was ashram days and requirements and this and that. You know, it's expanded so that adjustment has to be there. And I'm sure you're well aware that there are lots of reading groups and this and that, etc., that people can join. But encouragement to do that, and encouragement, and perhaps even a systematic program established. That sounds something like an organized person who has a teaching background could whip up really easy, Hare Krishna. But anyway, it's a good point, and you're correct. That should be all for now. Thank you very kindly for your attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.